hearty amen to the message that Brother Derek has brought to us this morning. And I hope all of us have been careful listeners of the Word and that we might enjoy that abundant life while we're here on this earth. I don't think that's talking about heaven after this life, but there is an abundant life that God's children can enjoy here. But Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want us to enjoy the abundant life of Christian living. I certainly appreciate the message that our brother has brought to us this morning. Last Sunday, I had a mind to preach some from Ephesians chapter 5, and I'd like to go back to that chapter this morning and maybe tie in with what Brother Derek has been preaching to us today. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul admonishes the church members in verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." He's not calling on people who are dead in sin and on their way to hell to wake up and get eternal life. He's talking to God's children who have gone to sleep spiritually. And Paul is trying to wake them up. You know, when you're asleep, the thief can really take advantage of you. So you don't want to be asleep. There is a thief, and our brother has talked to us about him this morning. The thief comes not but for to bless. No, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if God's children go to sleep spiritually, it gives a great advantage to the thief, to Satan. So Paul is saying, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise not from death, but get away from those that are dead to God. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Life? No, he's already given us life, but he will give us light." And light in Scripture really harmonizes with the thought of wisdom and understanding. People who have wisdom are walking in the light. So then he says in verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly," that is, carefully, "not as fools." Wow. How many of y'all want to be fools? Come on now. None of us want to be fools. We don't want our children to be fools. We don't want our grandchildren to be fools. So the apostle is saying to us, not as fools, but as what? As wise. The opposite of being a fool is being wise. And then he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I pointed out last Sunday that if you spend your present time trying to go back in the past and fix the past, you're wasting time because you can't fix the past. You made bad choices. We all have. But you can't go back and undo those choices. You can learn from them and make better choices in the present, but don't spend your life regretting the past. It's over. Learn from it and make better choices as you go forward. "Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time," that is, making full use of the time that you now have. Time is precious. You can't buy it. Walmart doesn't sell it. Where would you go today to buy you another hour? Time is a gift from God. It's precious, and we don't want to waste it. Redeeming the time, that is, making full use of the time, because the days are evil. We do live in an evil world. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise." That's interesting. Be not unwise. How many of us want to be wise? Well, he's going to tell us how to be wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then he tells us, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. So many people in the world have gone to drugs and alcohol to deal with the problems of life. But as I've said many times, you don't have a problem that drugs and alcohol can't make a lot worse. So don't go to wine and drugs. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, beloved, you and I are in a constant war. Our brothers brought that to our attention today. How many of y'all have to deal with the devil on a daily basis? You may not know it's the devil, but it's the devil and the flesh and the world, and we have to battle it all the time, and we need help. And the help we need is from the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit comes to fill us, you know, beloved, you don't have to be born of the Holy Spirit but one time. How many times did you have to be born in nature? Just one. How many times do you have to be born of the Holy Spirit? Just one. But you and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis. I only had to be born one time in nature, but I've had to be fed a lot all through the years. And in the spiritual realm, you and I need to be fed spiritually. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it helps us to be wise, not to be fools, but to be wise. Now I want to go with you this morning to Romans chapter 12. And I want to notice with you a subject that has been on my mind this week. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome, made up not of people on their way to hell, not made up of dead alien sinners. It is a New Testament church filled with people who are already born of the Holy Spirit, and they are brethren in the family of God, and they're all going to be in heaven in the sweet by and by. So he's not writing to them to tell them something to do in order to be a child of God. But he says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In this chapter, Paul is showing us the importance of the mind. By the renewing of the mind, you and I can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let's go back to verse 1 where Paul the apostle says to the church, I beseech you. That word beseech is not, it's not synonymous to the word command. The word beseech basically means I plead with you. I beg of you. Here is the great, eminent Apostle Paul. He wrote 14 books in the New Testament. He has the gift of an apostle. He has the sign gifts of an apostle. He's an incredible man. And yet when he would come to the children of God, he would not try to boss them. He would not try to whip them into obedience. The worst thing a preacher can ever do is try to be a dictator in the house of God. Amen. And command people and tell people what they better do and better not do. How many of y'all like a preacher like that? I want to be a servant leader in the house of God. I certainly don't want to be a boss. I don't want to be a dictator. I want to be like my beloved Apostle Paul. He was begging the church at Rome. And this morning, I would beg all of us in this house today to do what Paul is saying. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, the word therefore refers us back to all that he's been saying in the book of Romans. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He's not talking to people that are dead in sin and trying to get them saved. One thing you will always notice that's different about a primitive Baptist worship service and all the other religions of the world, we never try to save anybody from hell to heaven. Have you noticed that? We don't. You know why we don't? Because it's already been done on the cross. 2,000 years ago, Jesus saved all of his people from their sins. So I'm not going to waste my time trying to do something that's already been done. Amen. Jesus didn't say on the cross, now I did my part, y'all got to do yours. He did it all when it comes to the salvation of his people. Oh, beloved, we don't want to ever minimize that doctrine. We don't want to ever play that down. No, we want to rejoice in it. We believe everyone that God wants in heaven will be there. You know why? Because he sent somebody down from heaven that could get the job done. And it wasn't the apostles, it wasn't the angels, it wasn't the prophets, it certainly wasn't Sam Bryant, it was Jesus. And he saved his people from their sins. And we give him glory today in this house. That's a major difference in what you're going to hear in the Church of Jesus Christ and out in the world. A lot of good people out there, a lot of sincere preachers out there, but they just simply don't know the truth about what Jesus did on that cross. Paul understood it. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul knew. He had already explained in the Roman letter how sinners are saved for heaven. You go to Romans 8, and there you see the golden chain of salvation, where Paul said in Romans 8 and 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And whom he predestinated, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's five links in that chain, that golden chain of salvation. And there's nowhere in that link for your will, your belief, your baptism, your good works, anything you do or don't do. It's all of God. It's by grace. Amen. It's by the mercy of God. And let me tell you, Paul explains that so well in Romans chapter 8. We call that the First National Bank of the Old Baptist Church. Oh, we love that, don't we? But now Paul is saying, he's looking back, and he's saying, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know what? He's going to point them to the mercies of God to encourage them to live the Christian life. I've heard people say, oh, if salvation is by grace alone and you don't have any part in it, that would just encourage people to go out and sin. Well, I believed it for 52 years and it's never encouraged me to sin. You know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to serve my Lord. It makes me want to worship Him and praise Him and adore Him. Not in order to get a blessing, but because I've already been blessed. My Savior died for me on that cross and shed His precious blood. And let me tell you, He didn't tithe His blood. He gave every drop of it. He gave it all. And you think I'm going to stand here this morning and look at my bleeding Savior on that cross, who loved me and died for me and suffered in my room instead, and take all that for granted and just walk away and forget Him? No, beloved. No, His mercies cause me to want to serve Him more. You get me under the law, you put me under the Ten Commandments, and I'll try to keep them. But let me tell you, I know I'll fail. And a broken law will break us. The law is not, it's not inspiration. It might try to keep you for a little while on the straight and narrow, but you'll get so discouraged. Oh, but tell me again, as onward I go, Jesus washed me whiter than snow. That's what makes me want to get up on Sunday morning and come over here and worship y'all. I got on to some the other Sunday for not getting here early, and I thought, now, I have to walk to church. You know, if I can get over here in time, the rest of you could. I'm like the Africans. I walk to church. Of course, for those who don't know, I live next door. But I tell you what, it makes me want to get up and get dressed and get to the church where my Savior is going to be praised. My Savior is going to be worshipped. It's all about Him. How many of y'all get excited coming to church? Come on now. I know the church can be dead and cold sometimes if the Holy Spirit is not there, but that's where you and I play a big role. We have to ask God to be in our midst. And you know what Jesus said? He said, we're two or three. You know, that's the lowest multiple number, isn't it? Two. He didn't say we're 10,000 are gathered. That's fine to have 10,000, 100,000, but we're two or three are gathered together in my name. You know what it takes to have a great meeting? Not a great big crowd, but a great Savior in the midst. A great God in the midst. And Jesus said, I'll be in the midst to own and to bless. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's calling on these dear saints of God, these brethren in Rome. He's to present their bodies a living sacrifice, and he's doing it by pointing them to the mercies of God. Let me tell you, I don't know how much you all appreciate mercy today, but without it, you wouldn't be here. Without it, we'd all be goners. I'm living on mercy. And you know what mercy is? It's just sparing me from what I deserve. What if we all got what we deserve today? Oh, his mercies. And Paul uses that word in the plural, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what you all have done today, as you got up, got dressed, came over here to church. You're presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, if people don't present their bodies in church, you know what you do when you'd intentionally, deliberately stay away from church? You know what you're really doing? You're voting for the church to close down. Is that too strong? See, you vote. When you come here every Sunday, you're voting. We want this church to be open, alive, active. But you stay home and stay away. You're voting. Your absence is a vote to just shut this church down. Now, I understand people can have heart attacks, cancer. They can have a lot of problems that keep them from church. Maybe the car breaks down. I get that. But let me tell you, beloved, unless we are hindered, justifiably hindered, you and I need to be presenting our bodies a living sacrifice in God's house on a regular basis. Not a dead sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they presented animal sacrifices that were dead. You and I are to present living sacrifices. That's what the apostle says. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then let's notice the next expression here. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your what? Come on now. y'all, if you don't know this verse, I'd encourage you to go home and memorize it, because it's a beautiful verse, full of meaning, which is your reasonable service. Is it reasonable for God to ask me to present my body in his house on Sunday morning? It's not unreasonable. I mean, every day he gives me. I love people, you know, when they talk about they just, on Wednesday, they're halfway through. Is that hump day, they call it? Heading for that weekend. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a restaurant we used to go to in Calabash. Thank God it's Friday. Nothing wrong with all of that. But I want to tell you, you ought to be thanking God it's Monday. And you can get up and get dressed and go to work or wherever. And thank God it's Tuesday, and thank God it's Wednesday. Thank God for every day, but especially thank God for that first day of the week. He didn't say, I want you to be in church every day. If he had, that would have been reasonable. I mean, after all, every day is a gift from him. You know, you and I need to understand, beloved, that everything we have comes from God. You know, the Bible does not teach tithing in the New Testament. It was taught in the Old Testament. And a matter of fact, the Israelites lived under three tithes. Two of them were annual, and one of them was every 3 years. So basically, the nation of Israel, under the rule of the Old Testament, gave about 23% of what they earned back to the temple and the poor and the army. It was a tax. Tithing is a tax. That's what the word means. It's a tenth. And we're not under a tithe today. We're not under that in the New Testament. You and I are not obligated in the New Testament to give a tenth of what we have. But there are people who would say, that's unreasonable. A tenth of what I have, I give to the church or to the cause. Folks, let's say you needed $10,000 and you went to somebody and you asked them to loan you $10,000 and they give you $10,000 and they say, you don't owe me that back. All you really owe me is $1,000. How would y'all like that arrangement? Come on now. How many of y'all would love for somebody to give you $10,000 and all you owe them back is $1,000? That'd be a pretty good arrangement, wouldn't it? Well, I want to tell you, everything that Sam Bryant has, I got from God. He's the fountain of every blessing. And if he asked me to give back 10%, see, I'm just giving back what he's already given me. Y'all get that? Is that too complicated? And I want to tell you, the more you understand what God has done for you, the more giving you're going to be, the more you're going to be generous to somebody in your family that's in need, maybe some poor person that's struggling or they have a sickness. We often hear about people who are struggling with medical bills and we want to help. We want to make a sacrifice. And that's a good thing because it's only reasonable of us to do that. Which is your reasonable service? Don't ever let the devil, see the devil, the thief will come to us and lie and say, you mean God wants you to go to church every Sunday? How unreasonable is God? The devil wants you to share what you've got with people that are in need. The devil wants you to share your hard-earned money. The devil wants you... I mean, God wants you to read this book. Satan is a liar. He'll have you thinking that you're really something if you don't watch out. But in light of the cross, we understand anything God requires of us is a reasonable service. So let's come to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? The renewing of your mind. All of God's children are either going to be conformers to this world or they're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And you know, I'm blessed, very blessed, to be mostly around people like you all. I am. I don't have to go out in the secular world like Brother Derek, Brother Josh. All of you that have secular jobs, I don't have to do that. I'm with my wife, and she's a good Christian woman. And I visit with some of you a lot, and I'm just around good people about all the time. But I know for a lot of you, it's out there, and you're having to battle the influence of this world on a regular basis. You know, you're out there around people of the world who think like the world. They have the foolishness of the world. And you're in that company constantly. And then you're bombarded with radio and the internet and television and things of that nature. And you have about 2 hours a week to spend in the house of God where your pure mind is being stirred up. I'm telling you, I understand, I get it, I know it's a battle. I'm not telling you all now I don't have a battle with the devil just because I don't have to go out in the world. He has a way of getting to me. I mean, it's constant. Nelda and I were talking about that this week. And the battle is right here in the mind. And there are days when I'm down and despondent. And I know, I come to my senses and realize this is a satanic attack. Satan is after me. He wants to poison me and get up here in this pulpit and poison you all with the word. Oh, God, help me never to do that. It's a constant battle. And we don't want to be conformed to this world, but we want to be transformed. And I appreciated Brother Derek's illustration this morning about commercials, about the bounty. That's what we use. It is a good paper towel. I'll have to give it a word this morning. I'm not advertising for them, but I'm just being honest with you. But advertising can get into your head, you know, little jingles. One of my longtime friends, Elder Gary Hall, been a preacher as long as I've been, he told me one time, he said, you know, I came into the house, he runs a veterinary office, and he came into the house for lunch one day, and he went through the den where his wife was, or the kitchen, and he was singing that song, are you ready for this? It's a Michelob night. Now, some of y'all don't get that because you've never heard that old jingle, but it's an advertisement for beer. And it's a catchy little jingle. And Gary was going around his house as a preacher singing, it's a Michelob night. And he wasn't even conscious of it. And his wife had to rebuke him. Songs, they're catchy, aren't they? I tell you, a song got in my head a while back. I was up at Triune Church, and they were at the end of every service, Brother Jerry Williams, who's a wonderful man of God, would get up and sing that song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. I couldn't even go to sleep that night. That song was just playing in my mind like a broken record. You got to be careful what you listen to. You got to be careful what you watch because it does. Now listen, good songs will stay with you too. Nelda goes around singing good hymns a lot, and that's in her mind. You and I need to do that. We need to guard our minds. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed. How are we being transformed? Well, discipline helps. You know, just wearing the right kind of clothes, being modest in your dress and in your outward behavior. But I want to tell you, there are a lot of people who are outwardly putting on a show of religion, but inwardly, they're hypocrites. There's a lot of that. Jesus said one time to some people, he said, outwardly, you're like whitened sepulchre. Oh, you're beautiful out there. But inwardly, you're full of dead men's bones. We don't want to be, how many of y'all want to be hypocrites? Now, we all are hypocrites at one time or another. Come on now. None of us would be willing to have your whole life played for everybody to see. I heard about this man who had a religious horse, and he brought it to church. He trained that horse religiously. And he said, how many commandments are in the horse stomp? 10 times. How many apostles are? The horse stomped 12 times. And the fellow said, how many hypocrites are in the church? And the horse got into a gallop. None of us are the real deal all the time. If we were, we'd be close to sinless. I understand that. hypocrisy. So outward discipline is good. It's good to dress modest and you know, it's good. Discipline is good. But I want to tell you, this what he's talking about here is not outward as much as it is inward. By the renewing of your what? Your mind. I asked an elder this morning, I said, as we were studying, I said, what do you think is easier, to control the body or the mind? And she gave it a moment's thought, and she said, well, it's probably easier to control the body. And it's hard to control these bodies. I am a sugar addict. I plead guilty. I am. And it has gotten me into serious trouble. Recently, this fever of unknown origin came back on me, and I do believe it's one of the factors was because I had gotten back eating gobs of desserts. I hate to admit that to y'all. Y'all watch me today. Wednesday night, I was going to the desserts, and Nelda caught my eye. She said, look out, Sam. I need help. But the body, as hard as it is to eat right and exercise right, and that's a challenge. But I want to tell you, I believe it's easier to control the body than it is the mind. Oh, the mind. It's hard to discipline the mind. But Paul is saying, I want you all to, I want you to be renewed. I want you to, by the renewing of your mind, I want you to be transformed. And let me tell you, the mind is so important. I've got to close. I understand that. But let's say a man goes into a medical college, like Brother Taylor, and they come out a medical doctor. You know what's happened? They didn't give him a pill that made him a doctor. They didn't give him an injection. He had to study. He had to put his mind to it. Brother Nick Williford went into Samford Law School. He came out a lawyer. You know how? Because he put his mind to it. You go to engineering school, you don't get that in a day. You got to study. Put your mind to it. You're a good mechanic. You had to put your mind to it. You're a good carpenter. You had to have your mind on it. You're a good farmer. You got to have your mind on it. And if you and I are going to be good Christians, we've got to have our minds on it. And the mind has got to be renewed. Renewing of your mind on a daily basis. Oh, brethren and sisters, it's so important how we teach our children. Brother Derek was talking about teaching his nephew Samuel. Let me tell you, children have little minds that are like sponges, and they're just soaking up, soaking up, soaking up. Children don't come into this world as racist. Somebody has to teach them. Little baby's not laying in the crib sticking its tongue out to somebody because they're of another race. Come on now. They learn that stuff. They learn profanity. They learn how to criticize. They learn how to complain from mama and daddy. But they can also learn good things from us. We can be good role models. May God help us as parents and grandparents. I feel the weight of being a grandparent. I really do. It's an awesome responsibility because those kids look up to us. I feel the responsibility of being a pastor. Let's sing a song at this time. You have what number? 398. Number 398, okay. Come and lead that for us, Brother Joshua. And I'm going to ask Brother Derek to stand here with me, and let's sing this song and get